Good morning. Welcome to the Order of Time. Today, I would like to talk to you about creativity, spirituality, and religion. There are three aspects to life. The first interest is that of the self. The self is the spiritual foundation of happiness, knowledge, and eternity. It is not temporary, it is eternal. It is not just your own self idea, your own soul, your own consciousness, your own witnessing. You share that with all of mankind, with all of nature. Everybody shares the same ground, like computers to a mainframe. This self is at first pretty spiritual. It is not really associated with anything material, with time. It is above everything. But it is indeed a bit selfish. We cannot just live by the self and say that we did our best. There is an ego that arises from the self, that is worried about other things, more about the temporal matters. This is also important, because the witness is quite useless without that ego. So the ego, the second interest after the self, is that of a material representation of that self, of that soul. There is a duality between the self and the body. And there's also a third position after the creativity of the ego and the spirituality of the self. There's also the interest of wisdom, because the soul can be a reality of the witness, but wisdom was not implied in the realization of being merely a witness. So with the ego, one arrives at a certain experience. One gets experienced, and this wisdom, intelligence, skill, and authority develops. These are three basic positions: the creativity of the ego, the spirituality of the self, and the wisdom of the intelligence. In wisdom, we realize that self of ours, that soul of ours, is not just a single man's experience. In the ego, you discover that there are other egos you have to count with. In that compassion, recognizing your self-interest in that of others, you realize that caring for others is the same as caring for yourself. This is one of the reasons that I speak to you, so as to promote, to bring about this compassion, which is very direly need in the world. The world craves for it. it is an absolute necessity that people count with each other the way they care for themselves. These are the three fundamental issues in the game of order. The point is that they are not integrated, that in the world these things are all defended but do not operate as one. The wisdom is defended usually in the religion, the ego is defended usually in science, where we have theories and institutions of higher learning associated with great minds and professors and philosophers, and which is a lot of ego, of course. We, from the enlightened position, can manage ourselves. And the spiritual is a third position after that, which is also very extensively heartened in the world in the form of all kinds of meditation, New Age centers, individuals meditating with this or that discipline, and it cuts right across all cultures. It is there in all cultures. Not just the spirituality, but also the ego and the culture of wisdom and intelligence. The culture of wisdom and intelligence is an option to respect the person. This is usually politically done or religiously done. And that is a coin. And the wisdom, the intelligence, is a coin with two sides. One side is the side of ritual respect for the hero, of the duty to the soul, to the self, to the truth, to the eternal, to the consciousness. We know those heroes as prophets or lordships or masters of meditation. The cultures of respect about them are very adamant. They rose from the enlightenment of that hero, and such that culture is an exercise of respect for the enlightenment, as I told you yesterday. Still, the people of that worship might not be interested in that enlightenment that much, for they are liberated in the service of that person. The person you are motivated for is formative for your own self-awareness. If you run after a dog, you become like a dog. If you run after a woman, you become like a woman. And if you run after a godhead, you become a type of devotee that gradually emancipates towards a greater command of wisdom and independence. And as such, we recognize the religion as a school of enlightenment. But there's a conflict. The religion makes for an institution. Just like with the other side of the coin of the person, the political party, it makes also an institute. These institutes are no persons, they are no souls, they are just organized forms of respect for that person. In politics, it's an idea. A program, a political program, and leaders are exchangeable. They are replaced. The elderly leave and the young step forward. In the religion, the person is the transcendental presence. He doesn't die, that hero. The Buddha doesn't die, Krishna doesn't die, Muhammad is not dead. Jesus is very much alive. It's the essence of the religion that the person doesn't die, but is present in the beyond. So the person, the interest of the person, is an option in phylognosy, which is a coin with two sides. The same way spirituality is a coin with two sides. And as much as the person, the culture about the person, is called the culture of liberation, because in service we have a life, the spirituality, the reality of the enlightenment of the hero. So the hero, the lordship, covers both positions of the spirituality and the person, the hero. The spirituality has two sides. We know as the analytic side and the spiritual side itself, the side of transcendence, to rise above the duality of the analysis. In analysis we realize we live in a dual world with opposites, and the witness is the third position on top of that, which allows us choice, which gives us the opportunity to oversee oversee matters, which is very important. Without it, free will is not possible. So spirituality is fundamental to the realization of having a free will. That free will we all cherish very much, but do we really realize what the foundation is of that control, of that free will? There's only free will if you oversee things and can make a choice between life and death, between right and wrong, between politically right and politically left, between action and rest, and between the yin and the yang, when we are in China. This choice is very important because that defines us as human beings, self-responsible. With the religions, it is more doubtful whether we really act responsible, because we just follow the dictate. We do not really take responsibility ourselves. We are possessed by holiness, which is on itself not wrong, but we do not quite follow the principle of enlightenment of that hero, which we, if we do follow, realize is there of the spiritual department, of the department of the principles. So these principles of spirituality and analysis, this second coin of phylognosy, is the setup of the human definition. This is how we are defined by these fundamental principles of transcendence. If we hold on to this principle reality, this soul, this nucleus of ourselves, we define ourselves as people of principle. These principles are concerned with first the truth, second the non-violence, compassion, thirdly it is the principle of penance, and at last it's a principle of purity. So these four define the spiritual self. The third position is the position of the ego, the position of the impersonal truth, which is not necessarily spiritual, which is not necessarily political or religious, but it is necessarily to the facts of non-illusion. Because from the point of view of these people, the positive thinkers, as I promised you yesterday I would talk about today, these people of the absolute truth, they have a life of their own. They consider you when you're spiritual is not with your feet on the ground. And they consider you spiritually as attached to the person, which is, in their eyes, maybe something primitive, because you follow a person and not that what he has to say. So they have their own pride, these positive thinkers, who are very formative, who construct themselves a world, sometimes of technology, sometimes of an opinion about the world we call a paradigm, a certain model of thought, like the theory of relativity or like Galileo Galilei did, confronting Rome, saying that the earth revolves around the sun and not the other way around, which is pretty much true. And but that doesn't mean to say that that the position that the positive thinker takes is always true. The scientists and the philosophers forming this coin, this third coin of phylogenesy, they are very motivated for the material institute, and they are primarily interested in non-illusion. To them, there is in fact nothing else but time, space, and matter. Which is perfectly true. There is nothing but time, space, and matter. What they usually overlook and is that their position of impersonal non-illusion, seeing things as they are, is more difficult when it's about the integrity of time, space, and matter. It's a kind of religion, positive thinking, scientific thinking. It's all about there's only one reality, and that's the material reality, about space-time. Yeah? There's space, there's time, and there's matter. We are material entities, planets, worlds, existing in space and time. There's a lot to say about this, about space being a force field we call the ether, about time being the prime mover of matter, which is the life of the universe, which is also very fundamental, we cannot live without, and the matter itself, which is material, is a tightening of energy, a narrowing of energy, which is electromagnetic, is a kind of miniature planet, an atom. It is constructed also of little packages of energy, and these are three fundamental things science is worried about what it means to be electromagnetic in a material sense, to be spaced out in a force field called the ether, and to be there as subjected to different types of time. We discriminate linear time, cyclic time, and time awareness, a third position, which is also called psychological time, and the experience of time, which is not always that stable if we are not decided in our choice. But the point of positive thinking is it cannot exist without that spiritual position, without that personal position, because from the impersonal of science relating to the person, we need principles. The person is the integrity of time, space, and matter. And the principles are the way to manage it, the way to respect it properly. So that is what I wanted to say today. I thank you for your attention.